Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift your praises again. Lord, I give you everything tonight. I'm so thankful for what you've done. I'm thankful, God, for the promise that you've given. Hallelujah, eternal life. Heaven, hallelujah, hallelujah. That glory that awaits, I'm ready. I'm ready. If I'm not ready, God, tonight I'm going to get ready. Before I leave this house, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to meet you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If things seem rough, and the life has a way of throwing things at us that sometimes are not pleasant, but while your pastor was talking about heaven and we were singing songs about heaven, a scripture came to my mind, and I tried to pull up a Bible program on my little tablet here, couldn't get it fast enough, so I found it on my cell phone. Found the verse that came to my mind. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. He said, "For I reckon," and to hear you thought reckon was a southern word, but it's in the Bible. He said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," he admits, sometimes there are sufferings of this present time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Maybe when you're in the middle of it, that's all that we see. But that's all that it's our perspective. It's what's in front of us.
Yeah.
And it's all that we see is the sufferings of this present time.
Yeah.
But he said they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that awaits. Hallelujah. Oh God, whatever I'm facing tonight, whatever depression, whatever sickness, whatever strife the world throws my way, I'm going to plow through it. And I'm going to live for you, because I know the sufferings of this present time. And I live right. And I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm ready to meet you, God. They are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the reality of heaven. Hallelujah. How good heaven's going to be. How good heaven's going to be. I promise you, the worst day of your life, you will not remember. You will, the Bible said, the former things will not come into mind. We're not even going to think. As bad as you hurt right now, as bad as it looks, you're not going to be worrying about that time that you lost a job. You're not going to be in heaven worrying about how sick you were that one time. No, they're not worthy to be compared. Come on, God's speaking to us tonight. Even with these songs already, even with what your pastor said. Come on, get your eyes off the temple. Get your eyes off your problems, off the mud that surrounds you. Get your eyes on the hills from which cometh your help. Hallelujah. Get them on God. Get them on God. In fact, heaven's going to be so good. Your best day. Your best day isn't going to be remembered. You're not even going to be. You're not going to be shouting in heaven because of that raise that you got that one time. You're not going to be shouting in heaven because you invested $10,000 in Bitcoin and it gave you 20 times that amount back. That's not what you're going to be praising God about. We read in heaven. We read in Revelation the vision that John got in heaven. Sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Newman, I guess I feel the same way you do. I preached a message on this about 2 weeks ago in Mount Vernon at my brother-in-law's church. And I don't know what it is about, and you can be seated tonight. I know that you've been standing for a little bit. I don't know what it is about my generation. But even I'm young. I really am. I'll be 30 here in a few weeks. But I'm young. But I remember, Brother Newman, I remember how many songs. You flip through that songbook, Every other song in that songbook is about heaven. Every other one. And I got to thinking, I mentioned this at my brother-in-law's, I got to thinking, the last 20 years, I tried to think of every big kind of, you know, fashion-forward worship song that has come out that's about heaven. I could think of one, and that's I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. And it's a good song, but it's the only one I could think of. If you can think of another, that might make two. What happened? What happened? As a generation, and there's nothing wrong with worship songs. We love them. We need them. They're right. The Bible tells us to praise Him in His sanctuary. It tells us to praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His right hand. That's Bible. It's right to do that. But somehow our eyes got so off of the prize. The mark, the very mark that Paul said. He said, I'm not worried about all that, my past failures. I'm not worried about all the times I slipped up. I'm looking at the mark. He said, I pressed on the mark, the high call of the prize. What's the prize today? It's heaven! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you may be also. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going up to prepare a city. It's prepared. He said that I will not be ashamed to be called your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there's a flip side to that. That means if we're excited about heaven, we're excited about this place that God's prepared, He's not ashamed of us. But what happens if, you know, here God has this grand eternity of splendor prepared, and we could care less. We could care less. Is He ashamed? Would you be ashamed if here you spent years, you spent money, you spent time making something for somebody, and they couldn't care less? You'd say, well, what'd I do all this for? You don't even care about it. You're not even excited about it. I don't even know if I want to give it to you. You're not even excited about it. Oh, come on. I want to go to heaven. My eyes are on the prize today. It's not a fairy tale to me. It's not a myth. It's not some folklore or some mythology of Pentecost, but it's a reality. And I want to be ready to go there. If I'm not repented tonight, I want to leave with every sin. But I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Would you lift your hands to Him again? Tell Him, say, God, I want to be ready. I want to be ready, God. I don't want to be lost with all the knowledge that I have. I don't want to be lost when I'm sat on a church pew. I don't want to be lost when I've been so close. God, I don't want to be lost, but I want to be ready to meet You. And I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Let's clap our hands into the Lord. Greater. Hallelujah. The most amazing imagination or representation or painting or literary work even that attempts to describe the splendor doesn't even come close. Amen. Hallelujah. To the reality. Would you stand with me tonight? And I thank Brother Newman so much for having my family here and having us here. We had a good time already. I believe that God's just getting started. And even tonight, God can fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. God can renew the soul. And can even restore in God, in His Word, in faith, even into the church. He can restore even somebody's confidence, yep, that God sees where they're at.
Well, yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The book of Psalms, chapter number 119. I'm going to read two verses here, then we're going to turn to the book of Revelation, and then we're going to read from Revelation chapter number 2, Psalms 119, verse 159. It says, "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." I love the word of God. I love the law, the precepts of God, the principles of God. Verse 60, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Thy word is true. Hallelujah. Thy word is true from the beginning. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. And I give great honor, of course, to the pastor, to this church family. And y'all have spoiled us. In fact, the basket that we got on our first Sunday morning here, we're still chomping on it. And I was eating beef jerky and almonds today. And some of my favorite things in the world are jerky and nuts and cheese and stuff like that. I'm in hog heaven. And what y'all have given us, we've got cheesecake, and sis of the church left a cheesecake, and I even had a piece of cheesecake today. And we're still enjoying all of that. And you have been so kind, so good to my family and I. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart and for the way that you've made us feel. And that's outside of church and in church, the way that you respond. And I thank you for it. God loves it. And your pastor loves it. It makes your pastor proud. And, you know, we're not doing this for preacher religion. But at the same time, I tell you what, I've been in a pastor's shoes before. And I've been proud of folks. And I don't want to say ashamed, but I've been less than proud of folks before. And I know that you make your pastor proud.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Not in the haughty, arrogant way, right, but in the, right, you know, the good, godly way.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 2. Verse number 7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has saith unto the churches." He that hath an ear, let him hear. Hallelujah. Thy word is true from the beginning. It's what we read in Psalms. Every word of the righteous judgments endureth forever. Hallelujah. One place said, not one jot, not one tittle,
yeah,
is going to pass away. This word right here is true from,
yeah,
the beginning.
Yeah.
And here we read in the letter unto the church in Laodicea. In fact, not even just that church, but every church in the book of Revelation, right, chapter 2, chapter, right, 3, we read where this directive was given. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands unto the Lord. In Jesus' name, will you speak to us tonight? And I pray that with you speak, give us an ear to hear. Give us a heart to receive it. Give us a mind to respond to it, I pray. That we can feel touched and changed by you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can be seated today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. In the second verse that we just read, that he that hath an ear, let him hear. And that, of course, is a directive that was given to each of the seven churches in Asia. And you can read that on your own time, the first four chapters of Revelation. You read where to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Each of these churches received that very same. Now, I know that the message beyond that was individualized, and it was personally to each of them and dealt with where they were spiritually, but it began the same way. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And something tells me that that when he says ear in this context, in this way, that God, he wasn't talking about these little curly cues of cartilage we've got stuck on the side of our head, but he was talking about something a little deeper than that. He that has an ear attuned unto my voice, see that that has a heart that's sensitive to me and wants to do what I want them to do. Let him hear it. Let him hear it. Hallelujah. The word of God is important. Yeah. Amen. That's probably the understatement of the century, but the word of God, it's important. And it's important that I hear the word of God, and it is important that I obey the word of God. As apostolic Christians, we believe in what's called sola scriptura, or that's Latin for by scripture alone. This means that we recognize these 66 books of the Bible as the literal, infallible word of God concerning our salvation. And we, I think that we're all aware, it was penned by a fleshly man like you and I. God spoke through men. He spoke through prophets, through preachers of his word. But it was given by inspiration, the Bible says. In 2 Timothy, it tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, if you don't believe that, let me just tell you, you might as well not believe anything, because everything about living for God and where we get it, where we glean it from, is from these holy scriptures. And it's amazing how God has even used heathens. He really has. He's used men that were of a questionable character. You go into the life story of King James. Probably most of us, if you've got a Bible, you've got the King James Version sitting in front of you. And I'm not going to go into his life, but King James was not a holy man. He was not a model citizen, and I don't think he would have been a model saint if he's in one of our churches. But yet even him, God used. I believe God used to preserve. He wanted his word to be right. He wanted his word to be available to every generation. And I absolutely believe with everything in my heart that these scriptures that we hold right here, we can put our confidence in them. We can build our life on them. We can build our family on them. And they are the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We need the word. We need the word. We need the preached word of God. If I'm going to be saved today, I know it will be only. It's not going to some Eastern meditation circle. It's not going to be by doing yoga at the right temperature and you know, reaching out to the right spiritual being within myself or outside of myself or whatever they teach. You know how I'm going to be saved? It's going to be through the unadulterated, undiluted, powerful, rightly divine, rightly preached word. I believe the word is unchangeable. I believe that the word of God is not open to suggestion. It's not open to interpretation. It's not open to argument of what I think or the way that I think that it should be. And I've tried to open scriptures to people that have that mentality about them. And you know, they want to say, well, you know, I see that's what the Bible says, but I think, fill in the blank. I think this. I think that. And I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be blunt with this. Well, maybe I do mean to be blunt, but it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't even matter what I think. What does the Word say? What does the Bible say? What does God say about it? Come on, this is what matters. If he that hath an ear, let him hear. Hallelujah, let him hear. Let him hear. Psalm 119:89, he said, forever, Oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled in heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Here Paul, he's given his instruction. He's given his message, his legacy. He's leaving it on the line down to Timothy, his son in the gospel. And he tells him this. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. This is a young minister. This is a young man that's been under his tutelage. This is a young man that he's had opportunity to mentor and shape and pastor. And he's leaving him some final advice near the end of his life. One of the very last scriptures that Paul ever wrote. He says, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Not what Austin Clark thinks. Not what society agrees with. Not what's politically correct. Not what the Pope says. Not what Joel Osteen says. That is our charge. That is your pastor's charge, is to preach the word. It makes no sense to get mad at my pastor if he's preaching to me the word of God. If he's doing what God told him to do. If he's telling me and working on me according to as the scripture has said. And according as to the Holy Ghost has moved upon him to speak. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's the only qualification that Paul gives to Timothy. He goes on. He says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Be instant. Hallelujah. In season, out of season. I was a young preacher in my home church, of course. And we took this scripture to mean, you better just be ready. All the time, you know, whenever your pastor might call on you, and you need to be ready, be instant, in season, out of season. Man, maybe you can interpret it like that, but really, that's not what Paul was meaning when he said be instant. It's in the context of preach the word. Of the word instant in season. What does that mean when the word is in season? That means when people are behind it. That means when people are amening you. That means when it's a popular message. Come on, there's some messages in Pentecost that you're sure to get some amens. You start talking about Jesus' name baptism. You start talking about foundational doctrine, thing that we should get excited about. And it's in season. And I'm behind you. Come on, when it's in season, preach the word. But it says, don't you stop there. When it's out of season, when they're not amening you, when people get up and leave it. Word in season.
Yeah.
It's a little tougher. There's a little bit more pressure to give in. There's a little bit more pressure to compromise when the word becomes out of season. But he said, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. There's a balance there. You know what I'm thankful for? And I just had a conversation with somebody just within the last few days about this. I'm thankful for a man of God in my life with balance.
Amen.
I said, I'm thankful for balance. I'm thankful. This pastor that God has given you, and let me tell you, it might sound like I'm tooting his horn for a little bit. I promise you, your pastor did not tell me to preach this. He does not know I'm preaching this. Sometimes for a pastor, I've been in that seat. It's uncomfortable. You kind of fidget in your seat when you hear it in somebody else, and you've got the humility that a pastor should have, as I know that your pastor does. But he's balanced. God has put a man of God in your life, and he's balanced. You recognize the grace that God has shown to you. He said, preach it with all long suffering and doctrine. See, sometimes way over here, it's all grace. And it's all love.
Yeah.
And it's all feel good. And it's all just come like you are, and we'll pat you on the back and send you on your way. And we won't really do it. It's all long suffering. Well, come on, God loves you just like you are. And that's right, God does love you like you are, but He loves you enough to change you.
Right.
He loves you enough to get a job.
Right.
He loves you enough to get you out of darkness and get you into His marvelous light. But He flips it. He says, oh, long-suffering and doctrine.
Right.
On the other hand, there are those living for God. It becomes a list of rules. It's nothing but, it's just dogmatic. And it becomes just a laundry things, a list of things that you can do and can't do, and places you can go and places you can't go.
Right.
And there's no Holy Ghost.
Right.
And it's just doctrine. Come on.
Right.
Come on. I lived in North Idaho. We were surrounded. The county I lived in, 10% of our county was Mennonite. 10%. I had friends that were there. It was so rigid. And yet there was no life there. There was no joy. There was no room for grace. There was no room for repentance. But I'm thankful God put a pastor in my life that can reprove me and rebuke me. But He loves me. And He does it with long suffering and doctrine. But then, He says, when the time will come, and that's now, it's now, He said, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Likewise, in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, God speaks of a famine to come. He says, it will be not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing. Everybody say hearing.
Hearing.
I want you to notice something. He doesn't say it's a famine of the word. Come on, it's not a famine. We don't have a famine of the word today. We've got the word. The word of God is preached over this pulpit. The word of God, every person in this house, you can take this Bible home. You can go to the Motel 6 and take it from the room. Get a Gideon Bible from there. But there's a word of God available. You don't have a famine of the word. He said, but there's a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear. It's time to hear. It's time to obey. It's time to hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This means that one of two things was going to happen. Either God was going to cease to speak, or the people would refuse to hear when God speaks. For us, it has to be the latter. Again, we don't have a famine of the word, but there's a famine of the hearing. Hallelujah. There's a famine of the hearing. Hallelujah, souls harbor. God bless you. Again, with a pastor that loves people, a pastor that loves truth. God's given you a man of God that will preach this word as it was meant to be received. He will counsel you. He will help you. Come on, if you let Him, He will pastor you. You hear me? He'll take time out for you. He even said it today. He said, hey, if you got a question, you want to know, come talk to me. I'll converse with you. He will shed tears for you. He will pastor you. But you've got to be willing to hear it. You've got to be willing to obey it. You've got to have a heart too. Where God can use him to reach you. Hear it. Will we hear it? Will we hear it? Will we want to hear it? See, the word of God, not always convenient. The word of God is not always comfortable. God's message to you, God's plan for your life, it's not always the easy road. Come on Sunday, what did He tell the rich young ruler? He said, take up your cross and follow me. You think it was easy for him to hear that everything he'd amassed in his life, he had to go give away? He had to know it was not easy, but it was the word for his life. It was the word. I've got to hear the word for my life. Come on, the word of God, it's not described as a feather duster. It's not the word of God. It doesn't say that the word of God's a wiffle bat with no authority and no power. No, he said the word of God's sharper than any two-edged sword. Sometimes get out of my life the word.
The word.
Right. The word.
Word
for hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus, with your word.
Can we find comfort in the Word of God? Of course. Absolutely. Can we find strength in Scripture? Absolutely. You know it. But sometimes the Word is that scalpel, that sword. Sometimes the Word hurts our feelings.
Yeah.
If I gave you a nickel for every time my pastor hurt my feelings, I could probably buy a tank of gas close to it.
Sure.
I'm talking about being mean. My pastor wasn't being mean.
Right.
My pastor wasn't being cruel.
Right.
He was
right.
A good man.
Yeah.
He's a man like your pastor. That's why they're good friends. Yeah. Was it to be mean? When I was a young man and he called me into his office and he straightened some things out and told me things. One time this was obviously not my wife. Man, I was dating a girl. He told me, he said, break up with her. Okay. All right. Yes, Pastor. Did I want to hear that? Nope. Hurt my feelings? Yep. But did it save me? Yep. Am I here? Yep. Would I be here if I wouldn't have listened? You think I'd be preaching a revival right now if way back 17-year-old Austin would have bowed my neck and said, Pastor, who are you? Tell me what to do.
All right.
I'm a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wasn't a man yet, but some folks do that. Some young people do that.
Yeah.
Even half an ear. Let him hear. Let him hear. Hey, I'm preaching to us. This might not be the evangelist message you thought you'd get tonight, but this is the word of God.
It's good.
Hear it. Have an ear that God can talk to you. Have an ear that God can speak to you. Have an ear. Come on, how many times have we had a need, had a hurt, a question in our heart, and while we're praying, and first of all, that's the place we need to be if we're in that situation. It's praying. And we flip open our Bible. And as soon as we start reading, we look at a scripture. And it's exactly what we needed. And it's God speaking exactly to us. At the same time, how many times have we come to church and there's a question in our mind. And there's something that happened that week. And we sit there and pastor reads a scripture. And he starts preaching. And we start thinking, man, my phone must be bugged. He must have a spy on me at work that's looking and listening. And somebody's telling, no, God's speaking. God's reaching. And when God does that, would you hear it? Feelings, if somebody brings a scripture that rebukes me, and I'm almost ashamed to say this, one time I was preaching. I preached a message. I was a young preacher. I had gone, I was in Alabama, and I was just getting started out evangelizing, and I preached a message, and I mean, it was a good thought, good message, and when I got done, there was a little example I made, and after service, the pastor, he said, hey, Brother Clark, that was really good. He said, but there was one thing, you were wrong. And he pulled out a Bible. You know what he did? He proved me wrong. He said, no, this is what the Bible says about that. That's humbling.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. That's humbling.
Sure.
Sometimes we come and say, well, this is what Grandma believed.
Yeah.
That's what Grandpa believed. And this is the way I've always saw it.
Sure.
And then a preacher comes and says, well, and that's what the Word says.
Yeah, that's what the Word.
What do we do at that point? Do we get up and say, well, I know that's what you preach, but I'm just going to keep doing what Papa did? Or do we say, hey, that's the Word.
Hey, that's the Word.
Amen.
He that have an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
I will obey the Word of God. I want to be what God wants me to be.
Yeah.
If the Bible says I've got to repent, God, I want to repent. If the Bible says that however I was raised, I'm mentioned Jesus' name baptism a few times. That's what the Bible says. That's how they were baptized in the book of Acts. That's how the New Testament church went down. You try to prove me different. You cannot every time. If I went down any other way, God, I want to go down like the Word says. I want to do what the Word says. Either at the near, let them hear what the Word. Even the uncomfortable conviction sometimes the Word can bring. That's what godly sorrow is. Conviction. You know what Paul said about that in Corinthians? He said, I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. He said, when I brought the Word of God to you, when I showed you the error of your way in Scripture and in love, not in hardness, not with the, you know, bless God, you're going to hell kind of an attitude, but with love. When I brought you, he said, you were made sorry. He said, but I don't regret one thing that I said. In fact, I rejoice I said it because you sorrowed to repentance. That sorrow, that conviction, that hurt feelings brought you to a place of repentance. He said that you remained sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage of us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So that evangelist, he thinks all pastors ought to be mean. Absolutely not.
No,
I think they ought to tell the truth.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They ought to tell the truth.
Absolutely.
They shouldn't lie to people.
Right.
They shouldn't tell people just because they've repeated a little prayer that now they're good to go and they can go live any kind of way and do whatever they want to do, despite what the Bible says.
Yeah.
They preach it because it's easy to hear and it's easy to preach and it gets people coming and it builds numbers, regardless if it's scriptural or not, which of course it is not. That's what I have a problem with. That's what I think God has a problem with. We need to preach the Word. And we have saints need to be ready and open to hear and obey the Word of God. The Word, the Word, the Word. The Word. Message that's convenient might scratch the itch on my ear, but if it's not the Word, not the Word. Can I read a few more verses?
Yes.
2 Peter 2 and 1. He said that there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow the pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And look at verse 3. You talk about the last 40 years. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
Yeah.
He said they're going to make money off of you. Hey, religion's big business. Unfortunately, brother. Not truth. If you had a TV in your home and you turned it on to any number of channels and you saw the televangelists, just the lifestyles, the lavishness, all the while begging for just, it's money. It's money. Money, money, money. And you know what? And Paul said it would happen.
Yep.
He said they with feigned words, they're going to make merchandise of you. They're going to make merchandise out of saints, out of people.
Yep.
With a damnable heresy.
Oh, yeah.
A false, easy doctrine that's easy to hear. Doesn't save anybody.
Right.
That's not what I want. I want the Word.
Yeah.
Amen. I want the Word.
Amen.
God, I want your Word. Major player on some major stage says, I don't want what Hollywood says, I don't want such and such religion says, I want what the Word says. What does the Word say? This is what I want. Preacher, preach to me the Word. Counsel me, pastor me in prayer.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Tell me what God's told you to tell me. And I'm making the commitment. Everybody in this house, I hope you can make the commitment. God, when you speak to me,
Yeah.
I'm gonna obey it. I'm gonna obey. I'm not gonna bow my neck. I'm not gonna bow my back up. I'm not gonna rebel. I'm not gonna leave. I'm not gonna say this was an inconvenient message. That's what happened to Jesus. You read about it just after one of his greatest miracles. We preach about it all the time, about the multitude fed with the fishes and loaves. You read what happened the very next day. That night he went on a boat over to the other side of the sea. And that next day, here comes some folks that are looking for him. And they sent scouts all around from that multitude. Some of them catch up with them and Capernaum on the other side. And they run to him saying, "Hey, Jesus, hey, you got any more of that food? We're still hungry today." And what did Jesus do? He turned around. He said, "Hey, you're only after me for the fishes and loaves." But he began to relate to them what they really needed. He began to relate to them the word. He said, "Hey, listen, it's beyond just the physical blessings. Unless you eat of my flesh, you drink of my blood, unless you partake of what I'm going to partake, you're going to have no part with me." Hey, it was hard to hear. In fact, that's what they said. The Bible says from that time on, many of his disciples left and walked no more with him. The next day, after that great revival, that great miracle, because he began to preach the word. In John chapter 6, I've got it here in my notes. Let me read it to you. John 6 and 66 says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Verse 60, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying.'" Who can hear it? It's a hard saying. Who can hear it? This word is too hard. I'm unwilling to hear it. I'm unwilling to obey it. Not me today. Not me, God. If it hurts my feelings, tell me. If it's what's going to save my soul, God, lay that message on my preacher. Lay that message, God, on my preacher's heart. Have him preach it to me. God, if it's what I need to hear, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. We love the convenient, easy. You know, we get decorative afghans. We put over our couches, have Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, shall not want." We pass out greeting cards. Say, you know, peace, goodwill toward men. Hey, that's the word. That's still the word. That's right. Pastor Newman, I am yet to receive a Christmas card in the mail that says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I receive you." I haven't got one yet. I have not walked into a flea market one time and seen a decorative Afghan throw rug that said, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor unrighteous, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I have not seen that Afghan. If you see it, you buy it, give it to me, I'll put it on my couch. But I have never seen it.
Yeah.
Why? It's inconvenient. It's a hard saying.
Yes, sir.
I want the word.
Amen.
Sister Clark, would you come to the music today? Church family, would you stand with me? Across this house. On this Tuesday night, it's time, young man. It's time, young woman. It's time, moms and dads. It's time. Come on. It's time to make the commitment. God, I'm ready to live for you according to your word. I'm willing to be pastor. I'm willing, God, to submit myself to the authority of your word. Give me an ear to hear it. Give me an ear attuned to you. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Give me the message that's inconvenient. There's an old song that is actually was a Pentecostal preacher that wrote it. that says, preacher, preach to me. Oh, preacher, preach to me. Come on, this is my prayer. This is, I'm not saying it because I'm the one holding the microphone. I've got a pastor. You hear me? I've got a pastor. I've been a saint. I'm still a saint. And my prayer is, preacher, preach to me. God, I want to hear your word. I say, preacher, preach to me. Come on. Are you behind your pastor? You're behind your man of God. Not just when he's preaching to somebody else, but when he comes and read your mail. Are you ready? Are you willing to say yes? Yes, I'm ready. I want to live for you, God. I want to be right, God. I submit myself to the scriptures. Oh Lord, I say, preacher, preach to me. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Preacher, I want your word, God, whatever it takes. I must I've got to be saying, Lord, preacher, oh, preach to me. Hallelujah. Oh, the second verse says, preacher, pay me no mind. Myself to your word. I submit my lifestyle, my attitude, my mindset, not to religion. Come on, I know that's what your pastor preaches too. When we don't, you want religion? I don't want it. Barry, we had this conversation the other day at breakfast, didn't we? Religion, more people have been killed in the name of religion. More people, I believe, are going to be lost in the name of religion because of false doctrine and false religion than anything else other than sin itself. What you need, not to blindly follow a religion, but you need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. And you need a pastor willing to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's what God gave. He gave me His word by inspiration, the Bible says. He gave me the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, for the edifying, perfecting of the saints. This is what God gave. That His word can be proclaimed, and His word can be prepared and delivered to the saints, rightly divine by pastors with a heart after God. But a rightly divine word becomes effectless if nobody hears it.
Nobody hears it.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Nobody hears it. I want to walk and sing this song again. Can we gather around again? We make our way out of our pews. Just stand together as a church. Thank God for the pastor that He gave you. Thank God for a man that loves people, loves revival, loves truth. Hallelujah. God, I want you, Lord. And when it goes, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Let's sing it to the Lord. Hallelujah, God. Preacher, preach. Oh, preach to me. Transparency, Brother Clark, thank you.
I want you to know as a church, every time, doesn't matter who it is that really gets behind this pulpit and preaches, I want them to preach to me.
Amen.
I want them to preach to you.
Yeah.
And I say that as your pastor, and I will tell you, I personally appreciate this message. Because I got a soft, real soft spot. And you kept me on point. Thank you. Thank you. You see, you think that's just for you, but that was for me. I want to make sure that I preach with all long suffering and doctrine, and I want to preach with balance. And I do. But there's something that sometimes is inside of me that I want to be probably nicer than what I should be when I know God's saying, no, they need this. But God, I love them, and I don't. They need this. I got a mentor that happens. And I gotta go. Okay. And so thank you, Brother Clark, for preaching to me. When you read that scripture, you knew I was going to that scripture. I was going to that one and see the word of him. You saw me grab my phone and go right to it there. When he said that when they heard this, who can hear it? The very next verse 61 says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, doth this offend you? Jesus knew that they were murmuring. And when I looked at that word murmur, it said that they were grumbling and muttering under their breath. They began to secretly confer with one another whether it be so.
Right.
It was of those who discontent and began to complain.
Right.
Take heed to yourselves. Take heed and hear what the disciples, the ones that were walking with Jesus, began to be discontented and complain. Oh, and secretly confer with one another. Help us, God, not to do that. Help us, God, not to do that. There may be things I don't understand. I don't know why. But God, I don't want to be caught going to my brothers and secretly conversing. Oh, this doesn't make sense, and I don't agree with this. I don't.
Right.
I don't want to grumble. God, help me. And I don't want to be offended at your word, God. Don't let me be offended. Let it mold me in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Clark again. Let's thank the Lord for the words that we've heard here tonight. God, you never ever cease to amaze me, God, and how specific you are and how kind you are. And God, to keep us on track, to keep us focused, to keep us on the straight and narrow. God, because you care about us, you love us enough to tell us. To tell us the truth. Help us along this journey, God. Help us to be strong in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. You are.